guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Say that more slowly because I'm stupid.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The three-year fully guaranteed contract is something that I love. I love the fact that if Kirk Cousins and Mike McCartney, his agent, are pushing for this, it's a good sign for other players looking into the future because they should want to try to sign fully guaranteed deals. They should want that protection. I think ultimately that defines a true investment by the team because now they've actually got him for 3 years. They're on the hook for it. And if they want to get away from that deal, it's going to cost a lot of money. And as far as, you know, Kirk Cousins, and if he gets hurt or injured, he's still protected. So I think he can play a little bit more freely and not necessarily worry about that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, I think if the Vikings can get Kirk Cousins and that's all they do in free agency, that'd be enough to help them be a legitimate contender in the NFC.
Hour number two, Felger and Maz, 98.5, a Sports Hub simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. Big Jim Murray, Christian Arcan in for the guys today, and you at 617-779-0985. Rest in peace, Craig Mack. Had that in there for a reason. Dead at 46? That's shameful.
I know. Sad one. He was really sick, though.
And put Bad Boy on the map, too. Yeah. That first song, Flavor in Your Ear. But that was Brady Quinn on SiriusXM NFL Radio earlier today talking about this deal that Kirk Cousins plans to sign with the Minnesota Vikings. 3-year, $84 million. And it sounds like, according to all reports, Christian, that this is guaranteed money, which... as someone who grew up in a union household, I'm a worker bee. I'm always going to side with the worker or the company. Good. I think this sets a great precedent for this league that spits up these guys, chews them up, and you know, and a lot of them are just left broken and both literally and figuratively broken bodies and with no money. Granted, sometimes these guys are spending money frivolously, but the lack of guaranteed contracts in the NFL has always kind of bugged me. The franchise tag has always bugged me. It's un-American that this is what we're going to pay you, and you can't. You've been attached to us, whether you like it or not, and this is what you're getting. You can't actually dip your toe in free agency just yet. I hate all of that stuff. So if this is truly a guaranteed contract, good, good. You know, and I know that it's kind of hemmed up Major League Baseball, but for the NFL, I hope that this sets a new precedent throughout the league, and good for Kirk Cousins. And I think this immediately makes the Vikings maybe the best contender out of the NFC.
It'll set a precedent for guys like Kirk Cousins in this particular situation where everyone needs a quarterback and let's go out and get the best one and do whatever we can to get him. But I don't think it's going to change the whole culture of the NFL just yet.
He's not going to be the Kurt Flood of the NFL today.
Not quite. I mean, that'd be nice, but I don't think so. I don't know. I look at the Cousins thing and think, man, you know, for a guy who never won anything, and really wasn't he, I don't even think, over 500 in his career there in Washington. I mean, he took out a big ad. I saw Flynn tweeting about this yesterday. He took out an ad in the paper. Like, what for what? Like, what did you do there? Like, it wasn't really that memorable of an era for you guys. But, yeah, good for him. I mean, he's getting paid, and I think he's going to make that team better. But I just sort of, I don't know, I look at it and think, man, you know, you see all these guys going around. You remember what last offseason was like, and you really, I can't help but wonder what Jimmy Garoppolo could have fetched last year. You know, I just that's what I keep coming back to. No, like, these quarterbacks are signing for crazy money right now.
There's another one. You had a bunch in your top of the hour update, including Sam Bradford going to the Arizona Cardinals, and this one just coming across. The New York Jets are finalizing a deal with Teddy Bridgewater.
It's a good move for them.
Yeah, so it sounds like the Jets have found themselves a quarterback for now. But Kirk Cousins, you know, look, to me, he's Drew Bledsoe of this generation. He's good, not great. Stats monster. Big arm. But it's not like they surrounded him with a ton of talent in what's a, you know, just an inept franchise with the Washington Redskins. But that Vikings defense, that's legit. You know, they were right there this year. To me, it's them and the Eagles. I don't expect them to drop off all that much. But he's a hell of a lot better option for them in Minnesota than was Case Keenum or a broken Bridgewater. I think that improves them. So your thoughts on this and anything else going on throughout the NFL, put it to you this way. If you're just joining us, everyone in the league has done something except the Patriots, essentially. They traded for Danny Shelton, which I'm sure you had to look up just like I did. Sounded like a frat guy. Turns out he looks like a Pacific Islander. Doesn't match the name. And they've signed Brandon Bolden and Brandon King. That's what the Patriots have done. Yay! Oh, and they've lost Danny Amendola.
And they've been linked to Sue.
Right, yeah. According to the Finnsider, so Danny Amendola goes to the Dolphins, and according to the Finnsider, Finnsider Radio, Matthew
which
Tenuta,
is the Miami version of what you do.
That's right. Yeah, that's it. So
the Patriots,
very reputable.
It's like Dolphins.com, like the same thing he does? Like, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So they're
Finnsiders.
Saying the reason the Patriots lost out on Danny Amendola is because they're trying to sign Ndamukong Suh. Oh, that makes sense.
That's what you're doing.
Joe in New Hampshire on Danny Amendola. Go ahead, Joe. You're next here on Felger and Maz. Joe!
How are you guys doing today?
Good, what's up?
Good. Couple quick things. Danny Amendola has probably left in the last 4 or 5 years. he's probably let the Patriots leave about $10 to $12 million on the table, which I think he did deserve. Another thing, him going back, if him going to Miami, I think it's gonna be good for them. And I think that they're gonna lose Solder, and I think they're gonna lose the running back there,
Deion Lewis.
Yeah, I think that he's gonna be going too.
That was all a matter of time. He sounded like he had had one too many. That tends to happen during a big snowstorm.
Couple hot toddies, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Shovel, beer. More beers, shoveling, more beers. So perhaps that's what was going on with Joe in New Hampshire today.
By the way, Danny Amendola just in the playoffs, in case, before we get too far away from this.
Yeah, throw me some numbers so I can
against
get
against Tennessee, 11 receptions on 13 targets, 112 yards. Jacksonville, 7 catches on 9 targets, 84 yards, 2 touchdowns, including the game winner. And then in the Super Bowl, 8 receptions on 11 targets, 152 yards, including a 50-yarder. That is an all-timer playoff run right there. An all-timer. That's like Randy Moss numbers in the playoffs.
He was ridiculous. I spent these last 2 years in the postseason, he was ridiculous. And he was shouted out in the final episode of Tom vs. Time by Rob Gronkowski when they called Gronk after the AFC Championship win for a reason. Mm-hmm. What'd he say? Oh, boy, Danny in the playoffs. So, yeah, Danny playoff Amendola. Trash receiver, picking up all the little dirty yards that nobody else can. They missed out on him. Granted, it was time for him to get paid. Maybe the number was too rich for the Pats. But that's someone they're going to miss. Or at least Brady's going to miss. Joe in West Boylston, you're next here on Felger and Maz. Hey, Joe.
Nothing better than snow beers, by the way.
That is true. Yeah, you put them in the snow while you shovel, reach down, grab another of that, and it's a party. Yeah.
Just a couple things real quick. Danny Amendola has a career earnings of $20 million. That puts him a little less than 10 probably that he has, which is nowhere enough to keep that smoke show girlfriend there. So hopefully he took every last penny he could for Miami, which is the reason why he signed with Miami, is because of her. And I would do anything she wanted anyways. But secondly, I get this feeling, now that the new business year started for the Patriots, that Casario's chest is going to be puffed out, McDaniel's chest is puffed out, and Bill's going to start hearing no all of a sudden. And I bet you there's maybe some sleepy day in April. He's going to turn the NFL world upside down and maybe resign. And it's going to be groceries, shop for your groceries part two. And then he'll take over Green Bay next year, and that'll be it for his career. What do you guys think?
Joe, I still think it's a fluid situation. I mentioned this with Gasper yesterday. I think he's going to be here this year, and then that's it. But I still think that there is things that could put him over the edge. To me, I think that that's Seth Wickersham piece, and you know, others that are that you trust more, like Tom E. Curran of NBC Sports Boston, reported about, you know, how it's gotten kind of ugly behind the scenes between the three most important players and Brady, Belichick, and Kraft. Brady Belichick is not, you know, like dealing with all the things that come with Brady right now and Alex Guerrero, so he was pissed, and I think his hand was forced in trading Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay, so maybe that's helped expedite Bill Belichick leaving the Patriots and walking away from the league. There is one other thing that I think that could even have him out even quicker, and that's how they handle this Rob Gronkowski thing. You know that how he handles everybody. Nobody's bigger than the team, Arkan, so he already has to deal with that with the guy at quarterback, and that drives him nuts. He's now going to have to do that with the guy at tight end, where he could just think, you know, as good as Gronk is, I could draft someone else. Brent Celek was released today. Maybe he can pick him up and buy Gronk. I don't care about your contract demands. I'm not putting up with this. Walk away to the WWE. But the Krafts now know how important Gronk is to Tom Brady in this offense, and even from a marketing standpoint, how important he is to the team. What if they go over his head one more time, like I feel like they have with appeasing Brady, forcing Bill's hand to trade Garoppolo, and they rip up Gronk's contract, and they give him something close to some of the top receivers in the league, like DeAndre Hopkins, or, you know, it's he's making that kind of money. They go over Bill's head, and you know what? I wouldn't blame Bill for saying enough of this. Who's really running this team, and I'm walking away? I still think that that could happen.
Possible. You know, if you think about it, Danny Amendola was probably your most solid guy if they had signed them coming back. You know, Edelman and Mitchell both coming off injuries. Brandon Cooks lost his mind in the Super Bowl and got lit up with a concussion. He's still, you know, whatever. Gronkowski, you don't know what he's going to do. It really, I mean, there's no Danny Amendola was your rock. Like he was the one. He was the one that, you know, he was the healthiest and had the best performance in the last 3 weeks leading into it. And now he's gone. Like that's major.
Yeah, the Patriots offseason, not great. Not great. It's not been a good 5 or 6 weeks for this team, including the Super Bowl, obviously. It's not been great. Danny Amendola, again, is going to be signing with the Miami Dolphins. And what have the Patriots done so far? They've traded for Danny Shelton. You had to look him up, let's be honest. and they've brought back two special teamers. Yay! Well, seemingly everyone else in the NFL is getting better. But I get it. The league year hasn't started yet. In fact, we're 24-plus hours away from that. So maybe the Patriots will still do something like bringing back Nate Solder, which, outside of Gronk, is the most important thing that they have to do. Your thoughts on NFL free agency, and, of course, open up talking about Brady's weird appearance on Stephen Colbert. We'll play some more sound of that coming up right after these here on Felger and Mazz, Big Jim Murray and Kristen Arkin, and you at 617-779-0985.
You're listening to Felger and Mazz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
One fourth drum!
We're gonna run him right down their throat!
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mazz.
Who cares?
Felger and Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Okay, what are the deep tissue massagers you do?
Yeah, well, the key in my belief is pliability.
And pliability.
Yeah, pliability is the ability to keep all your muscles in your body long and soft. Because over time...
I got the soft down.
Yeah?
I got the soft long. Down, not the long so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we could work on that.
Oh, could we?
Yeah.
Could you...
Yeah, you want me to work on you?
Yeah, that's right.
I'd love to. You got any lotion?
Yeah.
Let me apply some lotion first. Okay. You like lotion?
I do like lotion.
Oh.
What's going to happen here?
So, first you get the lotion on.
Oh!
See?
It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
That's right, Precious. More weirdness from the Brady-Stephen Colbert interview last night, in which they pull out the TB12 method book and then talk about some of said methods, like the pliability, and then Brady gives Stephen Colbert a rub down on his arm. Very, very weird. Felger and Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. The whole thing was weird. It's Big Jim Murray and Kristen Arkand in for Felger and Mazz today. So, Brady now going to be without Danny Amendola. In case you're just tuning in, you haven't heard, Danny Amendola is going to be signing a deal with the Miami Dolphins. Hey, look, I don't blame him. We still are waiting on what the numbers are going to be here. At some point, you can't keep taking hometown discounts like he has the last 3 years here with this team. I think you have to, as a professional athlete, especially in that league where your longevity isn't as long, you have to set yourself up and your future family up, hopefully the rest of their lives. But, man, are they going to miss him? You mentioned these numbers earlier, Arkand. His final three games with the Patriots, looking at the divisional round, the AFC Championship game against Jacksonville in the Super Bowl, divisional round, 11 catches, 13 targets, 112 yards. Against Jacksonville, 7 catches, 9 targets, 84 yards, 2 touchdowns. But he had that, I mean, the 2 touchdowns, but that key was like a 3rd and 17.
Yeah.
That really started to jumpstart them towards the end of that game where it really started to look bad. And then the Super Bowl, 8 catches, 11 targets, 152 yards. And then even going back to last year's postseason and how important he was,
yeah.
They are going to miss Danny Amendola, or at least Tom Brady's going to miss Danny
Amendola.
Maybe
if he had not overthrown Brady on that pass in the Super Bowl, maybe they would have decided, okay, that's enough. By the way, I got some numbers here from Pete Schrager of Fox Sports. He says, the Amendola Dolphins terms, per his source, 2 years, $12 million with incentives, 8.25 guaranteed. Doubt the Patriots were going that high or even considering.
No. That's a good number for him.
Yeah.
So again, what was that?
2 years, $12 million with incentives, 8.25 guaranteed.
Ugh, man. Good for him. Good for him. But bad for this team, especially when you look at Julian Edelman, wrong side of 30, coming back.
Wait, the Patriots can't match that?
Well,
really?
They
can't match that contract.
I don't know what's going on there, Jimmy. I still think they're trying to play a shell game to try to figure out what they're going to do in terms of bringing Nate Solder back. I hope. Maybe they're trying to allocate money for Rob Gronkowski. I hope. Maybe they're trying to rework Tom Brady's contract. I hope. I don't know. But it seems like out of the 32 teams in the league, they're the one doing nothing.
If that money goes to Ndamukong Suh, I'll be upset.
Oh, God, yeah, I know. That I'm going to be pissed about. So, again, why don't you mention that?
Yeah, according to Finsiders, the prestigious Finsiders, the Danny Amendola move, the reason why the Patriots were unwilling to go that high with that sort of money, which now we're finding out, according to Schrager's 2 years, $12 million, is because they're looking to sign Ndamukong Suh.
Oh, God.
Who, by the way, it's not like he stinks, okay? It's not like Ndamukong Suh is some ass football player.
He's too much of a headache. That reeks to me of Albert Haynesworth.
Exactly who I thought of. Yeah. 100%. Especially with the stomping on the guys and everything.
So now, all right, so looking at the Patriots offense right now, Gronk, uncertain to return. Julian Edelman, wrong side of 30, coming back from a torn-up knee. You're probably going to lose Deion Lewis. Re-up Kenny Britt. Like, I'm not the biggest believer in Brandon Cooks. Yeah, Chris Hogan, as long as he stays healthy, is good. Like, they're gonna miss Danny Amendola something fierce. But I get it. It's a big number. I would have liked to like for them to be a little bit more aggressive. And God forbid that they are trying to sign Ndamukong Suh. They're trying to allocate money for him rather than Danny Amendola.
Of all people, of all positions, God. Too. I mean, that's it just seems like, all right, how many run stuffers do we need?
Was that
the problem with the defense last year? The run, they couldn't stop the run?
It was one of them, but it never really caught up to them.
Was it a big enough problem that we had, that's the only moves that are going to get made now? Like, that seems like in the NFL in 2018, not really that big of a concern
yeah.
for any team. Forget the Patriots. I mean, for anyone. What? Run stopping? Really? That's where we are?
Pete in Delaware, what do you think of the Patriots losing Danny Amendola today? Go ahead.
Well, good for him. I'm glad he's getting his money. He deserves to be paid. But I got one for you guys. Not conspiracy theory, but you know, this is the first year that Brady's ever been paid over $20 million in his career. It's, you know, per year contract, and he should. Don't get me wrong, but it's like now that he's not taking a discount, why should anybody else? And I don't blame Brady, but I'm just saying the mentality. You know, he's the top player on the team. He's always taking a discount. Now he's not. Not to mention when he doesn't take a discount. It's going to change everything. The benefits we have of having a quarterback given the discounts, those days are over, and I think we're seeing the repercussions financially, and maybe guys' minds are changing in how they're approaching free agency being with the Patriots.
Well, especially, Pete, if you know someone like Tom Brady isn't too happy about the work environment anymore, and in that sense, I can't blame him. Look, he's taken how many hometown discounts before, and he's done the best for the team so that they can bring in other pieces. But, Arkid, if everything that's gone on with this team, like I believe it has here in the last year plus, and Tom Brady doesn't really like how the whole feel of the thing is going, and he's a little bit pissed off, and he looks at it as like, you know what, it's time for me to get mine. Do you blame him?
No, of course not.
Me either.
How could you possibly? And it's sort of strange that he's in a position where he can start demanding that at 41, but, you know, here we are. Nothing about this has been normal. Like, this has all been very unusual, and now, you know, we're in this position.
Let's go to Michael in Las Vegas, who has a thought on the Patriots offseason. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Jim. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
See you in the one seat.
Thanks, man.
I just got one comment. I'm curious what you think, and then onward. This is, to me, the proverbial beginning of the end. And I'm not saying that we can't win the Super Bowl next year, but what I'm saying is as pieces leave, as Brady gets closer to retirement, which probably means Belichick's gone, unless they find themselves a star quarterback or someone they can count on, it is going to be a big downhill process. For example, you quickly just take someone like Houston. Houston is Deshaun Watson healthy. The guy Watt and Clowney on defense. If they add Butler, if they add Soldier, I mean, they're an immediate threat. Anyway, your opinion on the fact that I think Belichick finally overstepped his boundaries. And one quick thing, with all the injuries to the Bruins, they are locked in the two spot. They can't get Tampa. They're not falling below Toronto. Is it a bad thing that Bergeron and McAvoy get this rest as long as they do play in the playoffs? Congratulations on being in the one seat. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael. Oh, on the ladder? I'm now looking at, I don't know how you feel, Arcand. I actually think there's a little bit of silver lining there. I'm convinced that both Bergeron, I have to convince myself of this, but that both Bergeron and McAvoy are going to be back. Will they be 100%? No, but who is at this point of the year? But considering they are locked into the two seed, and I don't want them overtaking Tampa Bay because I don't want the albatross of that horrible, horrible President's Trophy.
Yeah.
I think this is a good thing, actually. They'll be rested up. They'll be ready to go for the playoffs.
I think it's 150% a good thing. It's serendipitous. I mean, it's really exactly what you kind of want. Maybe you want those two guys, especially in McAvoy's case because he's so young. Like, you hate to see a young guy go down with an injury like that, but for Bergeron, sure. And I sort of wish if it was up to me, like it was Char that was missing this time instead of McAvoy, just so he'll be a little more rested at the end. He's leading your team in ice time. But, yeah, I can't help but think that, especially considering the high level they're still playing at, to get those two guys back for the playoffs, that's nothing but good. That's great. That's better than good.
Let's go to Ron and Waltham. You're next here on Felgrid Mass. Hey, Ron.
Hey, guys. Just a question. How long until Bill Belichick's arrogance gets him fired? Like, I think it's time. My gosh, like this Jimmy Garoppolo deal, benching Butler in the playoffs, and all this crap and free agency. I mean, come on. Like, it's time for Belichick to go. Trade him for a pick, promote McDaniels, and let's move on. It's ridiculous. This is insane.
Arcand, you and I have dealt with a lot more of these calls because we work weekends.
Yeah.
But they are starting to rear their ugly head during the weekdays as well.
They're popping up.
I appreciate the anger from people.
We had three yesterday, three of them?
Three. There was a couple of Saturdays back, one of the ones that Gasper was away. I think I took three or four. One guy said he actually wrote a legitimate letter to the Crafts saying that he'd been a longtime season ticket holder, was demanding Bill Belichick being fired. He's still the greatest coach of all time. You want to question some of the moves he's made as a GM, especially in the last couple of years? Fine. I would agree with you there. But to fire him now because of one... one bad Super Bowl and he didn't get enough of a return.
I know they lost in the Super Bowl. It's not like they finished in last place in the East. Like, I know the saying, like, you live long enough, you die a hero, or you live long enough to become the villain. The villain lost in the Super Bowl last year and is having an underwhelming offseason so far. By the way, free agency starts tomorrow, folks. It hasn't even freaking started yet. Like, let's at least give it another month before we start talking about Belichick blew it this year. We don't even know it. The draft hasn't even happened. Like, give me a break.
And be careful what you wish for, hoping for Josh McDaniels to be the next head coach of this team. I have some questions there. Mark in Los Angeles on the Patriots offseason so far. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
One of the things that I'm a little concerned about is you know, and I would hate to see Nate Solder go, but I don't know if he's worth that kind of money. But I'm also concerned about Deion Lewis because he certainly showed that he had the ability to be a really reliable back. And it looks like they're going to lose him, too. So who are the backups? And third, I feel very strongly that I think they need to get a quarterback. I think this year in particular with the draft, especially in the second round, there's going to be some quality there. And I think they should really kind of look into that because, Brady says he can play for a couple. I think possibly he has maybe 1 or 2 years left in the tank. And I think that's going to be it. The way he's sounding now, I don't think he's going to be around for much longer.
Oh, no, I think you're looking at best, maybe 3 years. And with Deion Lewis, look, you can make the case that without him, and I've heard Zoe say this on Zoe and Beetle during the middays, like, without him, you're certainly not getting to the Super Bowl. He was their best running back last year. I actually agree with the gripes that Lewis has reportedly had that he wasn't utilized enough in the Super Bowl and early in the year. Because I think they were trying to trade his ass, so I can understand why he's a little bit butthurt there. Good pass catcher. Use him in the return game, good running back. They ain't going to pay him like $7 or $8 million like some team is going to. He meant a lot to that offense, but he's an injury liability, and I think you got the best out of him last year, and he's going to get paid. I've already resigned myself to losing Deion Lewis. Nate Solder, on the other hand, he is worth $12 to $13 million, probably a little bit more, because it's about protecting the blind side of a 41-year-old quarterback. Him, they got a pony up for. Let's squeeze another one in before the headlines here. We'll go to Tim in Draycott on the Patriots losing Danny Amendola to the Miami Dolphins. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Do you think Amendola going to the Dolphins, that means Cooks is going to get paid and we're going to keep him for next season?
Well, right now, Tim, if you look at the deal, what, he's on the books for $9 million, which I thought was too high, but some of the money being thrown around for wide receivers, and again, what's that deal for Danny Amendola, Christian Arcand?
2 years, $12 million, $8.25 guaranteed.
Yeah, and that's low. I think Marquise Lee got $16 million a year.
Like, yeah, he did.
I mean, there's guys that are iffy wide receivers getting paid over the last couple of days. Sammy Watkins has a new deal with Kansas City. Albert, who was it? The other guy that the Dolphins signed today. I want to say Albert Brooks, but I forget the name. But either way, the money being thrown around for wide receivers right now is insane. So Cooks at $9 million, as much as I think he was last year, despite
Albert Wilson.
Okay. Despite the 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns, which look good on paper, I would be okay if they moved Cooks for, say, a second-round pick just to get the money off the books. But right now, he's a bargain. And because of the money being thrown around, I don't blame the Patriots looking at it and saying, like, you know what, we're going to hang on to him for one more year.
Yeah.
$9 million is cheap considering what's getting
done. And he didn't have a bad year either. I mean, he had a pretty good year, I thought, actually, overall, when you look at there were things he did that we didn't like, obviously. He doesn't go over the middle as much. He didn't fight for as many balls. He's not Steve Smith, which, you know, people were expecting. But, you know, we're still talking about a 24-year-old wideout. And a guy who I think made strides this year and will probably be better next year.
He did get better as the season went along, towards the end. He was...
not at the very end.
Virtually useless on third down and too many dropsies. But, you know, maybe he can play himself more into the offense and get on the same page as Tom Brady. But at $9 million, at this point, I don't blame him for hanging on to him.
Felger and Maz.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Maz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Giunta kicks it to the center circle, and the horn is going to sound. So the Boston Bruins and Chicago Blackhawks will split a home-and-home afternoon set. Blackhawks victorious today over the Bruins 3-1, and the Bruins 0-1 to start a four-game road trip away from TD Garden.
The Bruins back at it tonight. Catch the call. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Puck drops at 7. Bruins taking on Carolina Hurricanes. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger and Maz off for most of the week. Mass returns on Friday. But today you have yours truly, Big Jim Murray, and Christian Arcan, and you at 617-779-0985. Quick little update on Patrice Bergeron, courtesy of Bruce Cassidy today. Said Bergie not on the trip. We will rule him out this week. He's getting further evaluation this week. That's about it. When it comes to next week, we'll have a better idea how he's progressing. So I think we've hit the 2-week mark here, Christian, in which we were supposed to get an update on Patrice Bergeron. So further evaluation this week, that's about it. Pretty vague from Bruce Cassidy, but I can live with that because I have to believe that he is going to be back for the playoffs. We mentioned this earlier. I think we agree. It's a bit of a silver lining that both Bergeron and McAvoy will be out. We expect them back for the playoffs. Good. Get this rest. You're locked in at the 2 seed. You also, of course, get David Backes back from suspension tonight. And there were some questions as to whether or not Brad Marchand was going to play because of the, and I'm using air quotes here, this is more for the TV audience. He was dealing with an upper body injury on Sunday against Chicago, but I think that they were just purposely leaving him out so that there wasn't any payback.
They're sticking by that story, though. Kevin Paul DuPont just about an hour ago said that Marchand was worried it would be if he played in that next game that he could suffer a long-term injury from his upper body injury.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't actually see his upper body connect with anything. Like, I saw him go high with the arm, but you didn't actually see him really tight. And that's the thing, like with Duclair didn't get hit high. It was his skate got caught under his knee, and that's what the injury was. And Cassidy said so afterwards. He's like, so you're going to penalize Marchand for going high when the injury was lower body? That doesn't make a lot of sense. And it didn't. It was that play was like a bad play. We talked about this with Gasper yesterday. It was a bad-looking play. It looked bad. It wasn't bad. It wasn't actually dirty. And the NHL said so. And if the NHL says so, and it's Brad Marchand, you know that they really couldn't find anything.
Yeah, the risk has sounded too much like a homer. I would have lost my mind if they ended up whacking him for a suspension. I get it. I know the track record of Brad Marchand. But he did try to get out of the way there. It looked bad, and because of the name, you immediately think, or if you're like Gasper, you're like, ah, well, he's up to his old tactics again, right, that Brad Marchand. I just think that they kept him out so that there wasn't going to be repercussions to the Blackhawks, and that's why he's back in tonight. So again, you can catch the Bruins and Carolina Panthers here on the Sports Hub of the Puck Drop at 7 o'clock. We've been heavy on the Patriots, though, in the NFL offseason, which the Patriots have done precious little. Nate Solder still dangling out there for someone else to grab, whether it's the Cleveland Browns or the Houston Texans. And now Danny Amendola is off to the Miami Dolphins. So your thoughts on all these things, 617-779-0985. John in Holden on Amendola going to the Dolphins. You're next here on Felger and Mass. Hey.
Hey, how are you doing, guys? Enjoying the weather. I just think that the Patriots, have they lost their mind letting Amendola go? He was such a key opponent for us, key for us. And to go ahead and try to get Sue, does Sue even have anything left in the tank?
I don't know. Is he under 30? If you look up his age, does he have something left in the tank? Yeah. Whether or not he loses his mind and tries to stomp on someone while they're down, that's another story.
31 years old.
Yeah, so he's
just
still,
turned in January.
He's still in his prime. I mean, going back even before he went to the Dolphins, and I think that was just one of those type of things where you see, and it typically I feel like happens with defensive linemen. They get a big contract and they just pack it in. Obviously, Albert Haynesworth is one of the names that immediately comes to mind, but Sue certainly did it when he went to the Dolphins.
With the Dolphins, he's had, in 3 seasons, 6 sacks, 5 sacks, and last year, 4.5.
Yeah, the talent's,
what a bum.
The talent's there, but he packed it in. That last year with the Dolphins, he was a stud. I loved him coming out of college. He's just a nut. I stopped defending that guy years ago. He's one of the dirtiest players in the league. I like a little meanness. You can't teach mean. That's one of my tenets that I believe in as a sports fan, Christian Arcan. But sometimes when you go over the line time and time again, I have to stop supporting you. That guy,
Haynesworth,
I want
no part of. Lasted 6 months with the Patriots, and then they went on a run. And I believe they won a title that year.
Yeah. And you remember, Haynesworth, he played with Vince Wilfork.
Yeah.
Like, people thought those two together were going to be unstoppable.
It was going to be a wrecking crew.
Then you see Haynesworth out there. He's falling down, and then he stays down for the whole play. Like, that was the Haynesworth experience. He would fall down, and they'd keep the camera on him. He'd just stay there watching the play, like, from the ground. Like, dude, come on, get up. Like, chase after, do something. Like, I don't know. I feel like Ndamukong Suh, you know, as much as I'd like in the Madden player in my mind thinks, yeah, putting him on the D-line, that's great. But when they put on the uniform and they go out there and play, it's just, I can't see that working. I really have a hard time seeing him, you know, fitting in with Bill and sort of falling in line with that. And even really, I mean, just in terms of his play, it's not that good anymore. I mean, he's really not that feared guy anymore. He's just kind of another guy in the middle who maybe could be a reclamation project.
Melissa in Somerset, what do you think about the Patriots losing Danny Amendola?
I am very upset. I cannot believe that they would do this and put Sue in there, who is a dirty player. Do we forget what he did to Aaron Rodgers? I mean, sure. Is the Patriots really that cheap? They let everyone go. Garoppolo, Welker. Like, we cannot have a good team, like a whole good team. They cannot pay these players. I mean, seriously. What is the problem?
Look, there's the cap. I believe to a little bit of an extent of what the man who normally sits here, the cap is crap. Like, you know, the money, yeah, you can fudge it around, and there's ways that you can hide it and do all these kind of things. As he always, Felger always says, I could figure it out on a cocktail napkin. But at some point, you know, you have to be fiscally responsible. You can't just throw money around willy-nilly.
The cap in the NFL is really a legitimate factor.
Oh, well, there you go, Felger. Now he believes in the cap. Well, see, he's contradicted himself. Either way, you can't sign everybody. But Amendola, he's getting eight and a quarter guaranteed, and it's, what, 2 years, two and a quarter, 12 and a quarter overall?
Yeah, 12 overall. Two years, 12.
Considering the money he has made and how many discounted deals he's taken the last three seasons, when I look at that number, I'm not shocked that they didn't end up signing Amendola. That sucks. I still have to believe, if I'm being positive, that they're going to bring back other guys that are important, like Nate Solder. It's not dire. The league year doesn't start until about 24 hours from now, so I'm not at like DEFCON 1 like our last caller was, but I can understand someone's concern. It feels like every team in the league, Kristen, is doing something except the Patriots.
And the Patriots have, what, about $15 million in cap space?
Yeah.
So 8 and a quarter would have been, that would have taken a chunk out of that. Obviously, over 2 years is not as bad. But, I mean, you know, we have to start thinking in those terms here with this offseason. We have to start thinking in the terms of, well, you know, yes, we'd like to keep this guy. We'd like to bring this guy back. But we're also coming off of an offseason where they did spend a lot of money, where they did sort of go out there and throw their weight around a little bit. And now, you know, this is every action as its reaction. And that's kind of what this offseason, I think, has already been up until now and will continue to be. And much to our chagrin. But that's, I mean, that's kind of how I've looked at this all along.
I don't remember a league year being this nuts before it's even officially started.
Yeah,
you know, we're going to be in here with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal tomorrow too, so he can help us. Hopefully, you know, if nothing else, I just want him to tell me something about Danny Shelton, who I know so precious little about. But it's going to
watch a lot of Browns games this year, did you?
I think it's going to be a wild day tomorrow, and it's already been like a wild 48 hours as far as the NFL landscape is concerned. But again, feels like everyone's doing something except the Pats. Danny Amendola goes to the Miami Dolphins. Your thoughts? Let's hear from you in our long commercials-free segment coming up here on Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
Very busy day once again in the NFL as we are just getting close to officially 24 hours away from the start of the new league year. And if you haven't heard yet, Danny Amendola off to the Miami Dolphins for a reported two-year $12 million deal. $8.25 million guaranteed. That reported from FoxSports.com's and Good Morning Football's Peter Schrager. Going to be tough to replace Danny Amendola here. You know that. I mean, 54 passes, 6 touchdowns in 11 playoff games with the Patriots since 2014. And those last two runs, he's been ridiculous. They call him Danny Playoff Amendola for a reason. Terrible nickname, but it fits. Tough to replace. I'm sure Tom Brady is a little bit pissed off right now. Guy's a warrior, gamer, playoff performer. Yeah, he's an injury concern. And I don't blame him for getting that money. He's taken 3 straight discounted years here. It's time for him to get paid. And from the official Twitter account of number 16 in your programs, number 1 in your hearts, of course, Scott Zolak, who you can hear middays here on the Sports Hub, I think he nailed it. No-brainer for Danny is what he tweeted. 8 guaranteed, no state tax, and both can model in South Florida. And it's true. He actually is. What's the modeling agency he signed with? Either way, Danny Amendola on the side gets paid to be a model. He dates Olivia Culpo, who is a model and ridiculous looking. Like, yeah, in South Beach, there's more opportunity for them as well.
Mm.
So get that money. I can't blame him.
Yeah.
But going to be tough to replace. Another thing Zoe tweeted, again, very active day in the NFL, is that former Jaguars cornerback Aaron Colvin intends to sign a 4-year deal with the Houston Texans, which takes the Texans out of the running for Malcolm Butler, who they had been reportedly had some interest in. Yesterday, Mike Giardi, NBC Sports Boston, tweeted that the Detroit Lions would have interest in Malcolm Butler, which I just find one big contradiction. This was towards the end of the show yesterday. I need him to go to the Detroit Lions so that the new coach there, Matt Patricia, has to answer the question, well, wait a minute. If he's good enough to sign and give a big deal to, why wasn't he good enough to use in the second half at least, or at least on one play, in Super Bowl 52?
Great question, and I think that the answer to that is, if it does happen, of course, and it still hasn't yet, but if it does happen, that will be about as clear-cut of a middle finger to Bill from Patricia as there could possibly be. It's him saying, listen, I didn't want to sit this guy. I wanted this guy on the field, and now I want him on my team, and I was overruled by the big guy. And now this is what I'm doing about it.
If I got that answer, I'd faint. I really would. I'd be so happy.
I mean, even if he doesn't say those words, just the action of it is basically that answer, isn't it?
That is to me.
Yeah.
And after all that he said, too, it wasn't in the playbook or whatever it was, whatever lame excuse that Matt Patricia used at the time, like, no one believes it. And I think that would be, you know, a little bit more obvious that he just crossed Bill for whatever reason, and he was too stubborn to put him back into the game. Oh, I need that to happen because you know those questions, whether or not they'd actually get answered, and more likely than not they wouldn't, but those questions would be asked, and oh, I'd have to get peppered with them time and again. He has to go to the Detroit Lions.
Well, I mean, does anyone really think that Matt Patricia didn't want Malcolm Butler on the field? That was Patricia's call?
Oh,
does
I
anyone
don't.
Really think that?
I mean,
I certainly don't.
In his heart of hearts, probably not, but he was such a, you know, he was so in lockstep with Bill here during his whole tenure
right.
that, you know, maybe he had brainwashed himself like Brady brainwashed himself last night. Just keep smiling. Everything's fine. I'm just going to keep, you know, he brainwashed himself into thinking, yeah, that was the right decision when clearly it wasn't.
Right. And if Bill had decided Butler's not playing and Patricia had even gone up to him on the sideline and said, hey, Bill, come on, we got to put him in now. And Bill said no. I mean, that's it, right? That's the final word. Patricia doesn't get to pull some string underneath and send him into the game. I mean, that's just how it is.
Let's go to Michael in Medford with the Patriots losing one key piece today in Danny Amendola, the first domino to fall. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, the one thing I need cleared up for me, just for my own knowledge, is the higher concern, if it's true, on a prominent sports station during the playoffs, they mentioned that the Patriots have been dominant because they have a system. And it's complicated, which is why they had, when Garoppolo left, they had to bring back Hoyer because he knew the system. And the system goes both ways, offense and defense. So my concern is, if they lose all these key pieces, hypothetically, and they've been here for 2 to 3 years, replacing them with talent's one thing, but how genuine and complicated is this Belichick system? Is my whole point. Otherwise, why do we need Brady after 41 years old? Because if they can't learn fast enough, then there's a problem. That's my only question.
Yeah, Michael, like, look, nobody, you know, if there's one thing, for all the flack that Bill Belichick has taken, and a lot of it rightfully so since the Super Bowl, if there's been nobody better than taking a piece of coal and fashioning into it a diamond
right.
with scrubs or unknowns than Bill Belichick. So the system and its intricacies, I can't speak to. But I know that nobody's been better than plugging guys in off the street and getting them to play. I mean, even Kyle Van Noy. He obviously contributed in Super Bowl 51. Wasn't
sure.
so good last year. But, you know, he's done that time and time again. But overall, to what the caller's point was, Brady's the most important piece. They would have lost by 50 if you didn't have him in that Super Bowl a month ago. Please. But
if Brian Hoyer played instead.
Oh, God.
No. With Johnny Manziel backing him up like you want next year.
let's go to Derek in Hanover with a thought on Danny Amendola going to the Dolphins today. Hey, Derek.
Hey, so I got my 2 cents on Danny Amendola. I don't know why everyone's freaking out about it. Tom Brady has thrown 50-something touchdowns to receivers over his career. It's just, like, every time we've lost a Super Bowl, it's been because of defense. Every time we won a Super Bowl, it came down to the last seconds because our defense was garbage. And the bottom line, I mean, we're going to find another Amendola. That's going to be no problem. But our defense, I mean, that's a mess. Absolute mess.
Well, Derek, you're certainly feeling a hell of a lot more positive than I am today, and I think most people, too, because when you look at the numbers, and Christian brought these up earlier, just looking at the final three games in the postseason last year for Amendola, divisional round against Tennessee, 11 catches on 13 targets for 112 yards. The AFC Championship game against Jacksonville, 7 catches, 9 targets, 84 yards, 2 touchdowns. And Super Bowl 52, which unfortunately was a loss, 8 catches, 11 targets for a $1.52. He's a stud in the playoffs. He was the year prior.
Yeah.
He's almost a security blanket. As much as Gronk and Edelman are for Tom Brady. You can't easily replace that. The guy's a gamer, especially when it's nut cutting time in the playoffs. They're going to miss that. It's not easily replaced. You can't just say, oh, Kenny Britt, now you're Amendola. Please, that ain't going to happen.
Okay, but if Julian Edelman played, if he didn't get hurt this year, do you think Amendola still would have had those catch totals in the playoffs? Don't you think Edelman would have got a lot of those balls? Like, it seems to me he's not going to be easy to replace, but he's not irreplaceable.
No, but time and again, I feel like Tom is looking for him on a tough third and 8, third and 11, or third and 17.
But isn't that normally when he looks for Edelman, though? I mean, like, isn't that sort of exactly the thing that Edelman was so known for?
But Edelman was obviously in that run the year prior
right.
that they ended up beating Atlanta. So
I guess the question is, how many security blankets do you really need? You know, this is Tom Brady here, after all. You need 3 security blankets?
Well, I'm greedy. I want as many as possible for my Binky Brady. But when you look at the roster as presently constituted, here's where another concern comes in. And again, Rob Gronkowski, as of right now, is not certain that he's going to return. You
right.
have Julian Edelman coming back on the wrong side of 30 with a ripped-up ACL. We still have some uncertainty in the backfield. Doesn't feel like Deion Lewis is going to be back. And then you have these other guys, Malcolm Mitchell, who's an injury concern with his knees, Kenny Britt, Chris Hogan, who's good, not great, Brandon Cooks, who's okay, but I felt like there's got to be room for improvement there. Like, your receiving corps took a hit with losing Amendola today.
Yeah, it certainly did. But I still, I mean, it's hard for me not to be able to envision an offense centered around Gronkowski, Cooks, and Chris Hogan still getting to the AFC Championship game and still getting to the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm not quite to the point yet where I think this team has been so profoundly damaged by anything. And I know we still haven't gotten anywhere yet. I mean, it still starts tomorrow, but like, I'm not freaking out too much yet. It's just hard for me to think that this other teams in the AFC are going to surpass the Patriots because Amendola left.
Let's go to Jason in Lowell. You're next here on Felger and Mazda. Hey, Jason.
What's going on, man? Arkan, you're taking everything I want to say, man. What are you doing?
Sorry.
Seriously, my bad. Like you're making too much sense. I wanted to make the sense, but this whole thing. Real quick though, Ndamukong Suh, as much as he's a dirty player, before I get into the Bill Belichick thing, Ndamukong Suh will help this defense. I think he might be better with the Patriots if he's on a winning team. He was on Miami. They're losers. So, I mean, maybe he'll be better. I don't know. Maybe they can tame him or something a little bit. Still have his, you know, dirtiness a little bit, just not so much where you're taking a quarterback out of the game forever. So, but for my Bill Belichick haters, I want people to realize what they are saying because would they rather us be a Cleveland Browns team or a Miami Dolphins team or any other team that's dead last? Bill Belichick has done so much for this team. I get it. The whole Butler thing, yes, he lost us the Super Bowl. I get that. I'm pissed about that too. But I'm not at the point where I want his head cut off and to leave the New England Patriots. I'm sorry, but we would not have 5 Super Bowls if Bill Belichick... Bill Belichick, didn't he get us Tom Brady in the 6th round? Wasn't that him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, I had to let you go because we're up against it. But yeah, no, like we've taken some calls here. It feels more recent than ever, and you were on the night after the Super Bowl, so obviously people are going to be hot that
night. Got a lot of them that night, yeah.
So I appreciate the anger. It's good to see because for the most part, since I've been here... You say anything bad about Belichick, people are ready to burn your house down and spit in your face. Now that there's some legitimate anger because of how he handled the Malcolm Butler situation in Super Bowl 52, like, hey, that anger is justified. Same for the return on Jimmy Garoppolo, a second-round pick for that kid who looks like, at least as of right now, in the small sample size, looks like he could be one of the great, you know, next great quarterbacks in the league. Yeah, there's justifiable anger there. But to call for his head like some people have, like, you got to calm down and step back. Do you really want Josh McDaniels taking over the operation as of right now?
No.
I think you're nuts.
Doesn't it kind of seem like the media blitz is, like, working, though? Because, like, for Brady, up into the playoffs, you had Tom versus Time the first 5 episodes, right? And you also had the 2 Bills. So that was all going on, like, during the playoffs. And it made Brady look like this great family man who wants to play football and loves life and wants you to eat healthy and all this stuff. And then there's Bill Belichick and why he left the Giants and why he left the Jets and why he did all these things and sort of the inner workings of this evil genius. And I don't know. It sort of seems like you think about it now, Brady last night on Colbert, big smiles everywhere. Belichick, you haven't really heard from him since the game. Like, maybe it's starting to turn the tide a little bit here, publicly anyway. Not that Belichick was ever considered some sort of cute, cuddly character, but like, you know, we're getting a lot of these calls. Like, they're not coming from nowhere.
Yeah. No, again, I think the anger is justified, but be careful what you wish for there. I don't want to push Bill Belichick out the door just yet. Christian Arkan, who you just heard, is going to get you caught up, rather, with the Sports Hub headlines. A lot going on in the NFL today, including the latest with Danny Amendola, no longer a member of the New England Patriots. He's going to tell you where he is off to, and then back right after this with your calls on Amendola, anything Patriots-related, Brady's appearance on Stephen Colbert last night. So weird. Talked about the Bruins as well. We'll get into the Celtics coming up here in the next hour here on Felger and Maz. Big Jim are in, Arkan in today here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.